Okay, this is the Father Heart TV webcast, Wednesday 22nd of November, and it's a great privilege to have Jane with us this evening. So Jane, I'll hand over to you. Bless you.
Okay, well, Mark asked me a little while ago whether I would share some of what I've been feeling around the subject of comfort and belonging. I think for realization and revelation of comfort really began to form in my heart actually while I did the 8, 9 years ago now. And prior to that, I think what my understanding of comfort had been was to be comforted from my pain. And although that is a big part of it, I think I began to realize that that was just the beginning to be comforted from our pain, and that actually it is more than that. I don't know whether you had the chance to read the little quote on the photograph at the beginning. We'll put it up at the end as well. But I'm just going to read that because I think that's in essence what we're talking about, or what I'm talking about when I talk about comfort. It says, "I've come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. Come further up. Come further in." And that's a quote from C.S. Lewis in his book, The Last Battle. For me, when I talk about comfort, I think it has become my position, or where I see myself within the Trinity. It is much more to me than just being having a relief from discomfort and a relief from pain. There's something much stronger about comfort. And I say positioning in the Trinity. When I think of comfort, I think of even Jesus' position in the bosom of the Father. He exists there, and we live in him, and he lives in us. And that position that he has, he is in essence, he is in comfort within the Trinity. And I think for me, there was an invitation into that place when pain started to be comforted in my own heart. And so I wanted to start by saying that, because that is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about comfort. And I think it's there's something about it that is a very strong thing. It's not a weak or passive thing. It is something that when we're comforted, we are given courage to carry on. And I know I think of I always like to imagine a child, maybe a 2-year-old who's exploring the world around them, a bit older than our Evie, and they are bumping into things, and they are discovering new things, and they might hurt themselves accidentally. And they're brought it in. A good parent will intuitively bring that child into them, into a hug, into an embrace, and then pat them on the back and tell them to go off and continue to explore. But that comfort takes on almost two aspects. There's the drawing in to relieve the pain, but then there's the kind of the pat on the back to go off and giving them the courage to do that. And just on sort of a side note, I found it interesting just to look back at the root meaning of comfort. I don't do this often. I know some people are very good and very interested in things like this. But when I did a quick Google, what I found was that the com bit of the word comfort in Latin is fortis. It means strong, and it actually in Latin has that sense of being strengthened, and then in the Greek it is to give courage, to encourage. And so I think that there is something of my experience has been as there's an invitation to when there has been pain, and maybe talk a bit about that later, where there has been pain, to have that pain relieved, but then actually to feel strengthened to sort of go and enjoy life, I suppose. So I wanted to start there by saying so that we kind of understood as to what I was perhaps meaning by comfort. When I think of God, when I think of Father and Son and Holy Spirit, I see in them, in each of them individually, and therefore the Trinity, as one who brings comfort. And we see that when Jesus came and he ministered comfort to many people, to his disciples, when he shared the Beatitudes, he was comforting as well as specifically talking about comfort, but he was seeking to bring comfort. We see where he comforted widows and expressed empathy, which can be what we often want to experience when we're in pain is somebody being empathetic. So we know Jesus as one who brings comfort, but I've often thought it was quite interesting that he said of his hometown that he couldn't do many miracles, but heal a few sick people. And I just find it fascinating because quite a lot of the time I would think of that was pretty impressive. Healings would be pretty impressive as miracles, but he said that wasn't, he hadn't done many miracles, and he then adopted a new home in Capernaum. And I do wonder what he was meaning by that, and how many people he actually came home to a place of comfort once when they'd been healed. And so, in his hometown, if they'd experienced healing, had they also come into a place of rest, a place of comfort? Because I wonder whether that's actually what Jesus was wanting to do, was wanting to draw people into that place. And so he moved to Capernaum, and I find it fascinating that Capernaum actually means the village of the Comforter, and that was the home that he adopted. And actually, the photograph that was on at the beginning was one that was taken just outside of Capernaum. That's looking at the Sea of Galilee when we visited some years ago. While we were there, this is before I realized that that Capernaum meant Village of the Comforter. We were actually camping on a site just outside of Capernaum, and I had a quite strange experience where I woke up in the morning, and I was just crying a lot. I woke up crying, couldn't work out why I was crying, and it was a sort of deep crying, and I journaled a bit, and I still couldn't work out where this kind of deep crying was coming from. And I managed to pull myself together, as it were, and carry on, had a lovely day. And it wasn't until later that I found out the guide told us the meaning of Capernaum, and I tracked back to that experience in the morning and was able to talk to Father about it. And I feel like there was just something of a realization of mourning in that place, mourning that he wanted to bring comfort to. And I think there's something mysterious and a mystery in that, and I don't fully know, and I don't need to know. But I've never forgot it, and I've never forgotten the fact that Jesus chose to make that his home while he was on earth. He called that his home. And then Jesus went on, and just at the time he was going to leave, he promised the disciples he would send another comforter in the Holy Spirit. That's again fascinated me, in that if he was sending another comforter, what then was he giving to his disciples and those who came to listen to him, that he was actually being comforter to them? And if he was a perfect representation of Father, then I see Father as one who brings comfort to us. So that's why I said right at the beginning that I almost see comfort as a positioning within the Trinity. They are comfortable in their own relationship with each other, and I and we are positioned in that within the Trinity. And I think one of the things that is really special about this is that when we have received comfort into our hearts, it's from that place of comfort that we actually are able and are capable to comfort others. And we all know when we have encountered maybe people who clearly haven't experienced comfort for pain that has been significant in their lives, that actually it can be quite tricky to relate to them, because there's a hardness about them, maybe that they can't give in warmth in relationship because of their lack of comfort. And I think there are times when perhaps that's the same is true for us. But the amazing thing is when a world's crying out for comfort, we have the opportunity to give them comfort from the comfort that we've received from our Heavenly Father. So this is why I think that it is such a significant realization and experience, revelation, whatever you want to call it. I think it's probably all of those things together that is so significant in our journey as a disciple. And interesting, I think it's James Jordan that says, what is a disciple of God? What is a disciple of Jesus if they are not ones who have been comforted? Because that is actually what Jesus came to do. He brought comfort to his disciples. So whatever view we have and whatever understanding we might have on what a disciple is, one of those things, if not the thing, is as a heart that's been comforted. So I guess the question is then, where does it all begin to be comforted by Almighty God? And I'm just going to read this a little bit because I wrote it and thought probably I won't try and learn it. It sort of reads best. So if you imagine, we sometimes talk about our heart being like a house. So that's the imagery here. If our heart were a house with many rooms, it is to swing wide the gates, open up the doors, and allow the light of his love to shine into all areas of our heart, letting his comfort come and fill each corner. And as he does, then we will be a body wholly filled and flooded with Christ himself, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and from our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this is how the world will know us, because we will from this place do the works of the Father, that is, to love one another deeply from the heart, and it will be an overflow. And so I think it's like our hearts go from being a house to being home. As we receive comfort, rest comes, and we can be comfortable in who we are, in who we were created to be, in the gifts and talents we have, and the pain that we may have experienced will be eased, and we will be able to live from that place. And almost introduce the idea of belonging. I think it's maybe a bigger thing, but when we know we belong, so when we're at home in our hearts, when we know we belong, that kind of insatiable need to find belonging from other people or within other settings, or have our identity validated by other people, particularly people who may be in position of leadership or authority. Those things don't become so important. That need to belong to a particular group, to be accepted, it doesn't really matter so much, because that deep rooting of I belong is there, and we're comfortable with ourselves in it. We no longer feel we are a part of something, away from something that we want to be a part of. So being comforted and being comfortable and enabled me to have that tremendous sense of belonging that I was really looking for and seeking after. So when we've received a level of comfort, I think it enables us to live from that home in our hearts, enables us to live from our heart and explore things. But just before I go, talk maybe a little moment on almost the consequences of having a heart that's comforted, I think it's worth just recognizing that more maybe familiar meaning of comfort, and that is to be comforted from all our troubles and from pain, comforted from wounds. I love the Beatitudes. I think they're fascinating, and I think the thing I love about them the most is that there's always a promise attached to them. You know, blessed means highly favoured in that context, and there's always a promise attached. And here it's blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I have the paraphrase, highly favoured are those who put their hands up and say, ouch, it really hurts, because they will experience comfort. And I think for me personally, that's where it all started. That's where this journey started. That's where the journey began before INS, before this kind of maybe deeper understanding of comfort. It began with me actually acknowledging and, you know, we all have pain. No one experience needs to trump another one. Adam and Eve in the garden were left exposed because of the choice that they made to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They experienced shame, they experienced pain, they experienced condemnation, and they were never supposed to feel and experience any of those things. So they didn't have the capacity, they didn't know what to do with all of those things. And the enemy set it up so he could take advantage of this exposure, and so stole and killed and destroyed and condemned. And so whether we've experienced what we might consider as big woundings or small woundings, it doesn't really matter. We've all experienced things that we were never supposed to experience. We weren't designed to experience. And unless we actually acknowledge the pain and have had comfort, then that pain is still there. I find it really interesting with little Evie now, who is 9 months and learning. Well, she's now figured out crawling. She'd rather walk. So she's pulling herself up and she's scrambling around and she's kneeling on all sorts of things as she tries to crawl around. And she lets me know when she's hurt herself. She'll cry out. She doesn't try and like pull herself together, and she doesn't journal about it, and she doesn't try and sort of soothe herself. She just cries out. She just, and she knows that I, Mimi or Tom, my husband, we will run to her and give her a cuddle and a pat her on the bum and tell her to, off she goes and she does the same thing again, herself again. But we don't think anything of it. It's a joy to us. It's mainly a joy to us. But to be able to comfort her in that way. But my point is, she cries out, she says ouch, and she expects comfort. And so it is, in us being evil, how much more does our Heavenly Father is just really okay with us saying ouch? Highly favored are we when we say ouch, because we get scooped up and we get comforted. And that's His good pleasure as a father to do that for us. So I think that began my journey, and it's a journey of faith to believe that He is good and the promise is real. He will comfort. He did comfort. He will comfort me in all my troubles. And so sometimes, even when we don't feel like it, there's just that faith, isn't there, that He is good and He has promised He will comfort us. So the vulnerability of actually putting your hands up and saying, ouch, is I think is the beginning of the journey. That was the beginning of my journey. And I think the other thing in there is when we have maybe experienced pain that has been quite significant, then there can be a loss of trust as well. And it is, there's the scripture, at my mother's breast, I learned to trust. It is Psalm, it's in the Psalms. It is written down, it's in the Psalms. David talks about that. And I think that is true. It is in that gather, Father gathers us to Himself, that trust is restored. Love always trusts, love always hopes. So there is some restoration of trust that probably needs to go on, particularly when the wounding has been significant. And I think at that point, it is our choice to stay in that place of comfort. One of the things I could have done, and I think maybe often happens, is we might go to one meeting or one ministry session or school or conference or counseling session, maybe, where we have an experience of God's touch, love, and touch of His love, and we begin to get comforted, and He might allow memories to come up when He's like, "No, you didn't experience comfort there, so I want to comfort you in that." And we get up and get off the floor or whatever, and we walk out, and that's been lovely, and we feel like we've dealt with it. I think there are times when actually remaining in that place and allowing the full extent of emotion to be comforted, maybe first released, maybe with a safe person or in a soaking time or whatever is appropriate, but to stay there until that trust begins to get, so much love gets poured in that trust actually begins to get restored. And I think as that trust gets restored, it's at that point, it's almost like that picture of a child that gets patted on the back, that courage comes in, that strength gets imparted, and begin to feel that we can get up and go again. And I think that's what certainly happened for me. I began at that point, I suppose, people began to, I heard people talk about, what are your dreams? And suddenly I found myself with a bit more courage to dream again. And then an interesting thing happened, and as I began to dream again, I began to talk to Father about deferred hope, and realized that actually there was pain in deferred hope, pain that He needed to bring comfort to. And so it was another time of receiving comfort from Father into that area. And even in that area, He began to talk to me about dreams, and he very kindly suggested to me that he wasn't so much interested in my dreams as he wanted me to live in the inheritance that his son Jesus had paid a huge price for. So we are designed in the image of God, and I think we do have dreams, and I think that's good. But I think I talk about inheritance instead, because I think for me that's the reality of it. When my heart began to be comforted and I began to feel at home in my heart, then I began to, it was almost like my eyes began to see differently, and began to see the land in front of me, that sense of further up, further in. This inheritance, this adventure to be had with my father. And I suppose in that realization that it was about an exploration of the inheritance that he has, he just whispered that phrase, you know, it's about my dream coming true. You're my dream coming true on earth. And that made sense to me, because it's we talk about the bride and the bride being prepared, and there is something that ultimately the exploration of an inheritance from a comforted heart is about him preparing a bride for his son. So my response to that in that moment was, the best thing I can do to prepare to be a bride is to be a daughter. And live from a place of comfort in my heart. And I think that's the consequence, if you like, of a heart that's experienced comfort, is that they have the courage and confidence to be at home in themselves, know that place of belonging, and have the freedom and fun to explore new things. And just very briefly, and I'll probably stop after this, that for me, what that looked like as my heart, as areas of my heart began to be comforted, I began to have a new courage and confidence to explore new things and try new things without that anxiety of failure that I had had previously. And you know, just to say, imagining that room, the rooms, house, the heart being a house with many rooms, he's kind enough not to go for after, you know, every room at the same time. So there will be some rooms in our heart, some pain, some ouch in our hearts that we've not yet experienced comfort in. And yet there will be others that where we have. And the call to us, I think, is in those areas where we have to have the courage and to know the confidence of exploring new things. And it was very practical for me. I took a class to learn how to draw and realized I really wasn't very good at drawing, and that was okay. And I started taking ballet classes and wasn't great, but really enjoyed it, so carried on for a while. And I just would enjoy trying new things and discovering where my gifts and talents lay, or things that I'd enjoy doing. And out of that, I actually had the confidence to start a small business that I've enjoyed doing over these last few years. And I was never set up to be anything grand other than just an adventure with my father, and we'll see where it goes. And it's the journey that's the fun thing. But I would never have been able to explore some of that inheritance, I suppose, if my heart hadn't first experienced comfort. So I think that's where I will leave it, other than I'm just going to go back and read that quote again. Because I think that summarizes it so nicely. I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. come further up, come further in. So I just, yeah, that's my invitation, I suppose, to come further up and to come further in and to rest in a place of comfort so that you can enjoy, so we can enjoy our inheritance. So yeah, I will leave it there, Mark. Hi.
Wow, Jane, thank you so much. That was just wonderful. Thank you. I mean, you said so many amazing things there. Making our house a home. It's just such a beautiful picture, isn't it? Because we all live in a house, but do we live in a home? And, the Father wants to make his home in our hearts. He doesn't want to live in a house. He wants to live in a home. And as we are comforted, as Jane said, our house, the house of our heart becomes a home. That was just beautiful. And going, I just, when Jane was talking to me the other day about what she was going to share, she said about going to the ouch moment. And just as she said, well, she gave me her notes, and just I got halfway down the page and I got to that point where it said, going to the ouch moment. And I just felt Father say, are you prepared to let me go to the ouch moment? And I knew I had to let him, and I did. And I've tried, as Jane said, to stay in that place. And I'm just going to ask Jane in just a minute or two just to pray for us, because I believe that Father wants to take us to, if we're willing, he wants to take us to that ouch moment, and he wants to comfort us in that deep place. I love that. Hi, you are highly favored when you say ouch. When we find that ouch moment, we have come to that place of vulnerability where we say, Father, I need you. And he is so faithful and so good that he will come to us and he will comfort us, and we then experience what it is to be highly favored. So that was, so many good things, Jane. Thank you. Thank you so much. I just feel Father wants to comfort us this evening. And it may just be the beginning, and it may continue after this evening. It may continue through the night. It may continue tomorrow. It may continue for weeks to come or months to come. But, I believe as we bring our hearts to Father and really say, Father, we want our hearts to be your home, then he will comfort us. And, there's, Jane started off by saying, the beginning is only, it's only the beginning to be comforted from our pain. And she ended up saying that when we live in comfort, we actually begin to live in our inheritance. And we've got this courage and confidence to try new things. And I just believe as we stay in that place and allow ourselves to be comforted, then we will begin to live in our true inheritance as sons and daughters. And I just want to encourage you, as Jane prays, I just put the music on quietly, as Jane prays, just let him comfort your heart. And then we'll just stay there for a few moments before we wrap up the webcast. So Jane, over to you again.
One of the things that I noted down, and I'm just going to read, and then I think I will use this as we pray. I wrote, living in the constant need for comfort allows us to perpetually receive the downward flow of his love, enough to also pour out on a world crying out for comfort. Father, thank you that you are a comforter. You are the comforter. Thank you that you send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to comfort us in all of our troubles. So, Father, we're asking that you would give us the gift of humility to say, ouch. Lord, give us the gift of faith to receive your comfort. That you would make us a people, a body, a church, who are known for being courageous and strong because of our ability to admit our need for comfort. That we would be a people who are so living in the downflow of your love and your comfort, that it is a natural overflow to comfort those around us. But would you start with us? Would you start at the beginning? Would you start with that gentle, that kindness that leads us to that place of repentance, that kindness that leads us to that place where we need to go and open the door of our hearts and acknowledge where we've got pain that exists that was never comforted. And would you give us the patience and the practical time as well for those of us who are busy to rest in that place of comfort, to not move on too quickly, but to receive your love, Father, into our hearts, that hope would be restored and trust would be restored. Thank you, Father, that you're loving us right now. Way we see. Give us eyes to see the inheritance that's ours, the fun to have with you as our Father, the adventures. Help us discover the gifts and talents that we have.